And I was really excited about living in Baltimore when I got here because I come from a small town where there wasn't nearly as much happening. So as soon as I was a student here, I was going to every concert that I could find. And I met a lot of people doing that. And most of those people I'm still in contact with, and they're a really active part of my professional life.
This is Max Q, a podcast by Peabody's Launchpad office dedicated to demystifying what life is like after graduation. Every episode, we sit down with a recent Peabody alum to get their take on what life is like for a working artist in today's world. Jobs, work-life balance, finances, time management, we discuss that and more on the Max Q podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Christina Mancior. Today's interview is with Lita Fink, who graduated in 2018. She is now a freelance performer, chamber musician, and composer who works actively in both Baltimore and New York.
Well, Lita, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
We're here to kind of talk about what Peabody alumni are up to and see what you're up to in your life. So maybe you can just start by telling us a little bit about what your life looks like right now.
Well, I graduated from Peabody last May, so a little more than a semester ago. And since I've graduated, I've been traveling a lot, and I play with several different chamber ensembles in different permutations. And I'm a composer as well as a performer, and I gig and I teach, and occasionally I try to have hobbies that aren't music related. And that's pretty much my life.
Cool. So you mentioned like you do a number of different performance-related things and composition, as well as performing with different groups. Could you talk a little bit more about how your time is balanced between those different activities?
So I have one main ensemble in Baltimore and two in New York, and then a couple of other side things. And I try to schedule out things pretty long-term, so I know when I have commissions coming up due or big concerts with one of the other ensembles. And I try to avoid those things being too close together. Often this is really hard to do because deadlines are really dependent upon commissioners or contractors or whatever. But I've learned that it's really good to insist on that as much as I can, to really say like, look, is this another option that we can do? Because that way everyone's happier and my work is a lot better. And I've also tried to maintain at least a few days a week writing music as well as practicing. And the key for that for me was to not just look at my schedule and view any hour that I didn't have already scheduled by someone else as free time. So in other words, at the beginning of the week saying, okay, Thursday at 5 p.m., I'm going to have 2 hours to practice. I'm not going to schedule rehearsals during that time. I'm going to think of that time as busy time that's not available for rehearsals.
Do you feel like there's anything in particular that you did that helped you prepare for the kinds of work that you're doing now? And how does that apply to freelancing as a performer versus composition? And are they similar or different?
I think I'm still figuring that out a little bit, how the two things can coexist. And I'm finding that they do coexist pretty well because often people who commission me are people that I've had some sort of performance relationship with in the past. And at first, composition was very much not really in my plans. That's something that has grown over the years along with other things. But it was really, really important for me to, while I was a student, get out as much as possible from Peabody. And I was really excited about living in Baltimore when I got here because I come from a small town where there wasn't nearly as much happening. So as soon as I was a student here, I was going to every concert that I could find. And I met a lot of people doing that. And most of those people I'm still in contact with, and they're a really active part of my professional life. So that's always my number one advice for anyone who's a student in a time when it's much less sustainable to just be a classical musician kind of on a pedestal preparing for Carnegie Hall. It's so important to cast your net wide and try things that you maybe don't think of as directly relevant to what you're doing. But most of the time you'll find that things you explore end up informing what you're doing in some way, usually a really beneficial way.
Why don't we talk a little bit about your work outside of Peabody, because you mentioned how much you've done out in the community in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And how did you get started with that? And what sort of options are there for students to get started with it now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know that for me, I got involved with Creative Access pretty soon after I came to Peabody, and that brought me to a lot of community centers in Baltimore and also forced me to perform. This is actually a really important part of making what my career is now into what it is having a lot of experience performing in very different settings in terms of audience and acoustics and performance-y level things. Like, is it a concert, or are you just walking into a little room with six people in it and playing the best you can for them? So that was what Creative Access was for me. And I eventually was the student director of that program for a couple of years. And that really changed the way I thought about performances and also gave me a lot of comfort performing because I was doing it so much, going out to different places in Baltimore and sharing whatever I was working on or whatever I was excited about and curating groups of people to come with me. I think that no matter what is available at Peabody, I can't encourage people enough to, if they have music that they want to perform, that they're working on, to reach out to places like hospitals or retirement communities that have volunteer programs and talk to someone about setting up a performance there. And the most important thing is to practice being flexible enough to tailor your presentation of your music to the audience you're visiting, because it can really change a lot. And it's amazing the difference that the framing of the same program can make. You can play crazy music for people who don't know anything about classical music if you talk about it the right way and relate to it in the right way.
I'm kind of interested in going back to what you were talking about with your freelancing a little more, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, sort of, you mentioned when you're talking to clients, figuring out a schedule that works for you and making sure that you are able to deliver in the best possible way. And I guess that would require negotiation mm-hmm. with the client. So could you talk a little bit about your experience with that and what is challenging or what has become easier over the years as you learned different things about negotiating with people?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a very simple thing which I've been hearing increasingly for the past couple of years. And maybe by the time anyone's listening to this, it'll be common knowledge. Maybe it already is. I don't know. But a few different people have told me the concept of using a three-part criterion for accepting gigs, which is money, people, and music. And basically, if it's got two of those things, say you love the music and you love the people, but it doesn't pay super well, you still want to seriously consider accepting it. Or if it pays super well and you like the people but you hate the music, still maybe consider accepting it. If you got all three, awesome. But if it's just one, then hard no. Because you don't have time for that. And I found that I've had to start making really difficult decisions about saying no to things. Because anyone who knows me knows that I'm really bad at saying no to things. And I do think that as a student, too, it's really good to say yes to everything that you possibly can, because I've learned a lot from doing that. But at this point, a little bit out from school, I find myself saying no to way more things than I say yes to, and doing that has been hard but kind of a lifesaver, because otherwise you kind of forget who you are and what you're supposed to be doing if you're just constantly bouncing from one thing to the next, and all you end up with time for is time to, like, just barely prepare for the next thing rather than working on yourself as a holistic artist.
Do you feel like your goals and your priorities have changed since you started school at Peabody?
Oh, absolutely.
Which, how many years ago was that now?
That was 4.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I came here as a junior. I transferred from the University of North Carolina, and then I did my master's degrees here. the biggest reason that I transferred to Peabody from UNC Chapel Hill was that I didn't feel like I was getting a very concentrated musical education there. I didn't really have much time to practice because I had to take lots of gen eds. And I wanted to focus more. I wanted to be surrounded by people who were also set on being musicians as their career rather than it being a side thing. And so I really thought that coming to Peabody would mean my life really narrowing a lot. I thought it would mean practicing all the time and taking lessons and diving into classical music. And I didn't really conceive of any other option. But pretty much within a semester of coming here, I was exploring so many more things than I thought I would. Like so many things I didn't really know existed in and out of Peabody, largely out. But I did feel really inspired by what I was doing at school to branch out, especially through some jazz courses that I was taking here. And that was really life-changing because now that's mostly what I do is experimental music, improvisation, jazz, writing my own stuff, contemporary classical music.
What about any setbacks? Do you feel like there's been any significant obstacles that you faced either during your time in school or afterwards? And if so, how did you get past those?
I think that this career really demands that you know yourself really, really well. And that's been a pretty big source of stress for me, and just coming to terms with what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of and which things I can change and which I can't. And of course, that'll change throughout my whole life, I'm sure. But for instance, time management, that's something I'm really bad at. That's something you need to be really good at if you're a freelancer. It's gotten better through much hard work. I can say that. But also mental health stuff has definitely gotten in my way the last few months especially. And I'm not sure how much of that is directly related to having graduated and been out in the world fully, and how much of that is kind of coincidental. But that's something I'm starting to learn. You can't just power through. You have to find some kind of way of gently addressing it, like as soon as you start to notice a pattern. And I've kind of gotten to points where I power through it enough that by the time it really gets to me, I have no defenses against it. And it takes me weeks to feel like I've recovered. And I haven't really found it yet, but there must be a way to become more conscious of those cycles in emotional health and in finding ways to boost yourself before mm-hmm. it gets out of control.
To recognize it. And then be able to address it sooner.
Yeah. And to talk about it mm-hmm. with people that you trust.
Is there anything in particular that surprises you about your life after graduation?
Well, I had kind of forgotten what it was like to have any sort of free time, so rediscovering that has been nice. other than that, I think probably just what you'd expect in terms of, oh my God, I'm a person now in the real world. How do I do that? Taxes are really hard. Learn about taxes while you're in school and before you have to pay them.
On that note, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your insight and your experience.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thanks for being here.
Lita recently won a new Music USA grant with the Bergamot Quartet for her piece In the Brink for string quartet and percussion, which the group is performing and touring this year. You can learn more about Lita and stay up to date with her music at her website, which is LidaFink.com. That's LedahFinck.com. Thanks for listening.